I'll give you an example. After Hurricane Katrina, who was it that was passing the laws or was marshaling the laws, setting curfews, right? In Orleans Parish, they were having gun confiscations. Who authorized that? The sheriff. Here in this parish, who authorized the curfew to be in effect? The sheriff. So the sheriff is the highest constitutional officer in any parish or any county. Now that doesn't mean he's the president by any means, but he does have to act upon the U.S. Constitution, and when state law is subordinate to it, then, you know, he would defer to the federal law, and that instance should be rare. But, you know, he would also be the highest constitutional officer of your state constitution. Now, bearing that in mind, in the Catholic Church, there are no state constitutions per se. There's no diocese constitution. There is just a teaching. So the bishop basically is the guy that's in charge of seeing to it that the teaching is faithfully carried out and that the faith is faithfully carried out and defended, which is why when Father James Martin J goes somewhere into somebody else's diocese and wants to speak, the bishop can tell him, not no, but hell no. I am not going to grant you faculties here. If you want to come in as private citizen, go ahead, but you're not coming in as Father James Martin J. He's defending the deposit of the faith, the mystical body, the teaching. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but that's what he is. Wherever he is, over whatever power he has, is to carry out. He's basically the president at that point. He's to see that the law or that the faith and the canon law and that the teaching is faithfully executed. That's what he does. So for Bishop McElroy to go like, well, it's not a preeminent. I don't see it as a preeminent issue. There's nothing in Catholic law. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's a very strong teaching that says that all human life is valued by God from conception. If you don't have human life, Bishop, you don't have humans. You don't have humans. You know, I have to resist calling him names because I want to call him names. If you don't have humans, well, then you don't have a church. You don't have anyone that can become a saint. Yeah, and then you don't have, was that a Maggie minute? No. Then you don't have, if you don't have humans, then you don't have these precious immigrants who can be preciously immigrated into your parish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for him to get up there and say that, it's a scandal. You're a pro-life Catholic, and you're in his diocese. It's a scandal. The defense of life ought to be the most important, preeminent thing on your agenda. Well, what about just being faithful? That is part of being faithful. You can't separate being pro-life from being Catholic, no matter how much these nitwits try and do it. So thank heaven for Bishop Strickland to get up there. Boy, what a choice, huh? McElroy to Strickland. It should have gone McElroy to some other useful idiot like Supich. Not that Strickland could come up and do a mic drop. Then we have this. This is a... all right. Mrs. O'Connell, I'm gonna play the sex ed clip. Now, I warn you, you got to hear this. Now, this is a clip. This is a couple of child abusing maniacs that need to be found, arrested, prosecuted for plotting child abuse. What is it called? Sex ed in school? Do you know the name of the group of who these two nitwits represent with their stupid dolls that have no male or female features? Here, let me play you the digital media file, and I'll tell you what. Only one member, one member of the USCCB said anything about it. LGBT CSE education. Now, I cannot adequately prepare you. Shanna's not in the chat room. She gong. You're going to need ear bleach. You're going to need eye bleach. You're going to need holy water. You're going to need epiphany salt. You're going to, I can't think of, you're going to, pretend like there's a vampire in your house. You're going to need garlic around your neck. It's pretty bad. But it shouldn't be shocking. Nothing that these people do should shock anyone anymore. Maybe once upon a time, we'd be shocked by this. But this day and age, this is to be expected because it's the norm. Listen.
Corruption starting.
Well, I was going to say, listen. Now, it did to me what it did to Mrs. O'Connell last hour.
Hi, I'm Nadine, a sex educator.
And I'm Eva, a sex researcher.
I use the pronouns she and her because I'm a woman, and when I was your age, I used to be a girl.
Gender is how you feel on the inside about whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. If you're non-binary, feel like neither or both. People can also be fluid, feel more like female, more like male, based on a different day or time. It's really individual.
Absolutely.
Everyone born with a vulva is a girl, true or false.
Or identifies as a girl. Not everybody is sure, and that makes sense. But our
by the way, every kid in the room voted true. Every kid in the room held a paper plate up with a T on it and goes, true?
Genitals actually don't determine our gender, so some people born with vulvas can be boys.
Let's learn a little bit more about gender. We actually have an extra special visitor to sex ed school.
I have been through the spectrum, if we were to say a spectrum of, like, boys and girls. I have been everywhere in between. I was born a girl, and then when I was 2 years old,
a girl.
I told my mom for the first time that I was a boy, and I think that I framed it, I don't remember it, I've only been told stories, but I framed it because my brother's middle name was the same as my dad's, and so I insisted that my middle name was also the same as his, but back in the day, there was no talk shows, and there was no internet, there was no resources, so she just ignored it. And then nothing happened for many, many years. And then it still took me a long time into my 20s before I...
And then I, like, got some soy milk, and then I started sipping on, like, almond milk. And then I started, like, taking, like, steroids. And then I started, like, shaving my hair. And then I started wearing, like, flannel check shirts, you know. And then I developed, like, this lisp. And then I started cutting my hair. And then... After you start taking testosterone, then you can build your upper body up with lots of fat and stuff. So you look like a little chunky little boy, like I look right now. This lunatic, this pervert, is talking to little 5 and 6 year old children.
I decided to transition, but in there, I was a tomboy. If that's what we say, or like I was sporty, I had short hair, and then I grew it out in high school because I felt like I should, and I felt like that's what people wanted me to be. And then in my 20s, I...
Now, the kids are looking at it like... mouths wide open, drool coming out, going like... I just wanted to go to school to get a hot lunch, man.
Decided to become a drag king. Which we don't hear about
minute,
as much. Like
wait
drag.
A minute! A drag king? Then I decided. Then I decided to like drink more soy and almond milk and become a drag king.
Drag kings are women who feel they're trapped in men's bodies, and instead of drag queens performing in front of an audience, it's women dressed like men. They make fake beards and then they dance and lip sync.
I'm like a drag king.
Queens are in the news all the time, but a drag king is a little bit different. So for me, it was in my daily life, I was a girl. But then when I went on stage and I wanted to perform, I would perform as male and I would use he, him pronouns. And that was kind of a way for the first time where people were seeing me as a boy. And that's when it kind of clicked in my head of, I actually want to do this when I'm off stage as well.
Oh, good Lord. Who unleashed these perverts, these child abusing, psychotic neurotic perverts on children. I want to know what school that was at. The demons are ascendant. They've come for the children. They won't take no for an answer. Maybe now, after 3 years, some of you that have been out there on the bench will now come on over to our side. This is a real war. People don't realize this. This is a real war. The demons are fully invested, fully engaged. They've enlisted maniacs, mentally deranged lunatics, and now he's not only is he mentally now is he physically deformed and mutilated now, because for years she has been taking male hormones. This thinking process has gotten warped. She is not able to think remotely clearly any longer. Otherwise, why in God's name would you go in front of a crowd, a schoolroom filled 5, 6, 7-year-old children, and tell them of all the wonderful things that have happened to you in your sick and confused existence? And that's a great way to describe it. Sick and confused.